Yes. Who? We cooperate. We thank you, Lord, from our hearts. We praise you, Lord Jesus Christ, for this time together. Thank you that you give this conference to us, Lord. We praise you for all the brothers and sisters, for all those who have come here, who participate online, wherever they are. Lord, that you fill us with you. We are here because we want to get to know you more, because we love you and we love the saints. And we want to see you more in us, and because we want to finish, to complete your work together with you. We praise you for this wonderful opportunity in this time and the opportunity to be here. Lord, we don't want to be hindered. You are our victory tonight. And we will by far conquer because you are the victor in us. We look away unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we praise you. You are worthy of all the honor. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I really want to praise the Lord tonight. I'm so thankful that we can be here tonight. And when I mean here, then that means includes also all the online participants, because we are all one. We are one for this conference. This is our conference. This is your conference. Of course, it's the time of the Lord, but it's also your time. And it's precious to be here. It's not a matter of course. It's a big privilege to be here. And I'm really thankful to the Lord that I can be here. There are some brothers who left us, who died, and we are still alive, and we can still be here. And we are running the race together, together with all the saints. With those who have been running for a long time, and with those who haven't been here for so long, and those who've come here for the first time. Jesus works in this age, in all those who say, Lord Jesus, I want to know you, come into my heart. And therefore, I'd like to welcome everybody here. I'd like to thank the saints here in Stuttgart to give us the opportunity to come here from all those different places to have fellowship together. There are many, many services here in the background. You don't see that. It's maybe like a clockwork. You'd see just the pointers and the disc, but you don't see the background, and that's like here. But your work is not in vain. So every going, every doing, every service is not in vain. And that is how the church life is possible. And I have to say, I'm really thankful that in so many places we've got the brothers. You see here one of the other brothers standing here up in the front. Don't be deceived. A long time of preparation. They took time to prepare. They sought the Lord. And in up front, they were experiencing so much joy, but they are standing together. They're not alone. Together with you. This is a service, a ministry in oneness. And here we need each one. And I'd like to be happy. That from each church, a brother stands up so that we may know which churches you are from. I'd interrupt you as soon as it gets too long, but if you want to pray, be free, or if you want to say something, just that we get an image of where the brothers and sisters come from all the places. I'll start. I'm from the church in Thun. Yeah, the church in Thun, and we've come here two people. We have traveled 50 hours. We come from Mława in Poland. 400. We had a big thunderstorm, but we all came safely and soundly here. Mława, Poland. Two churches already. I come from the church in Geneva, the Church of God, which is in Geneva. Praise the Lord.
To be here and on the church in Vietnam pray for us to, since 3 months ago, so that we can stay here with all the saints here. Thanks, Lord.
Amen. Geschwister aus Vietnam, lobe den Herrn. Schön, dass ihr da seid. Halleluja. Amen. Wer traut sich noch? Halleluja.
Wir kommen aus Österreich, Gemeinde in Alkoven. Wir freuen uns,
dass wir bei euch sind. We come from Austria, from the church in Alkoven.
Hello.
We are happy to be here with you all.
I from to Vietnam.
I also come from Vietnam.
I live in Hanoi.
Amen. Yeah. It's good to have you here. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lodi al Signore. Noi veniamo dall'Italia, siamo in due, siamo dal castello di Godigo. Lodi al Signore per la sua casa.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We come from Italy, Castello di Godigo.
We came from Wodzisław in Poland, and we bring to you the best greetings in Christ Jesus from the saints in Wodzisław.
Amen.
We are in the south part of Poland.
Amen.
From Mława via more north.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Lobe den Herrn.
Herzliche Grüße aus der Gemeinde in Berlin.
Amen.
Lobe den Herrn.
Halleluja.
Ich komme aus der Gemeinde Bonn.
Amen. Halleluja. Die Heiligen in Bonn.
I come from the church in Bonn and greetings from the church in Berlin.
Ich bin aus Pforzheim. Lobe den Herrn.
I come from Pforzheim.
Ja, lob den Herrn. Ich sehe Geschwister aus Karlsruhe. Ich sehe Geschwister
aus
Stuttgart.
I see saints from Karlsruhe, from Stuttgart.
Halleluja.
The church in Lausanne, Switzerland.
Amen. Amen. Lob den Herrn. Amen.
Die Gemeinde in Bad Dürkheim.
The church in Bad Dürkheim.
Uwe.
Two families from the church in Quitzdorf am See, for we have not come to the mountain which you cannot touch, Hebrews, but we've come to the Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the church of the firstborn, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Praise the Lord for your church.
Amen. Herr Jesus. Halleluja. Ich sehe noch jemand aus Reutlingen. Halleluja.
I see someone from Reutlingen.
Herr, wir loben dich für alle Heiligen. Oh, danke für
praise
alle Gemeinden.
Lord, for all the saints, for all the churches in each locality, Lord, we praise you. Let's now all churches read the title together. Gain Christ and be
Amen.
Completed
wir
in one, being made perfect in one. We want to gain
werden.
Christ
Amen.
And being Lord made perfect in
Amen.
One.
Ja, das, dieses Werk geht uns alle an.
This is a work that concerns each one of us. And in the preparation, we started out with a strong burden. Lord, do you want to come soon?
Herr, wir suchen dich.
Lord, we seek you.
Und es ist so ein Wunsch entstanden, dass wir
and we became such
werden.
A got such a desire to be completed, to be made perfect, because the Lord has such a desire to complete what He has started. Our God is a God has started, and He's a God that will also complete. He speaks, and it is there. He calls things into being. And the word is full of promises. And it shows us clearly that what our God began, He will also complete it. And He has a purpose with us human beings. And He didn't conceive His plan independently of us. In this time, He needs people to complete His work. But He doesn't need your own capability. He doesn't need capable people, but He needs people that are ready to turn their hearts, that say, Lord, I make room in my heart for You. So let's take one minute. I don't know what you brought, what's still in your heart. Let's just take a minute to turn our hearts. Say inwardly, Lord Jesus, I come to You. Cleanse me. There is nothing that the Lord cannot forgive us. We can really take His blood and come forward. We want to behold Him. In the Gospels, He says, those who have a pure heart will be able to see God. Let's take 1 minute. We need You, Lord Jesus. We are turning to You, Lord Jesus. My heart. We put everything off.
Oh, Jesus. Amen. Danke, lieber Herr. Herr Jesus, wenden uns. Amen.
We are turning.
Herr Jesus. Danke, Herr. Danke, Jesus. Wir loben dich. Amen.
We praise You, Lord Jesus, whenever the heart turns to the Lord. Let's read the verses together. We'll be talking about the epistle to the Philippians these days. It's a very precious word. It's so fresh. Everything is precious, but we had an impression that we should take this epistle, because here it is written how the Lord works for completion. Now, Philippians chapter 1:1-11. Philippians epistle to the Philippians chapter 1:1-11. Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon all my remembrance of you, always in every petition of mine on behalf of you all, making the petition with joy for your fellowship unto the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun in you a good work will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Even as it is right for me to think this on behalf of you all, because you have me in your heart, since both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how I long after you all in the inward parts of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in full knowledge and all discernment, that you may prove by testing the things which differ, that you may be pure and without offense unto the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which is through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God.
Amen. Danke, Herr. Damit wir das prüfen können, was anders ist.
So that we may prove by testing the things which differ, that we may be pure and without offense unto the day of Christ. And we are convinced that the one that he has begun in you a good work will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. And in verse 9, this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in full knowledge and all discernment. I don't know how many times in my preparatory time, I've read these verses, but you cannot read them enough, actually. You read those words that Paul wrote, who wrote a letter where he was in Rome already. That means in the last section of his life, and he writes this epistle to the brothers and sisters in Philippi. And when you read this epistle, you realize that this apostle has a heart for those saints. He's got such a concern for them, not only because he has to have a concern, because this ought to be like that when you are grown like this in the spirit and you are like Paul, but the brother was built up with those saints. Through fellowship, something came into being that was not there before. God was able to create something that no human being could work. Something was growing, God was getting something, his church in Philippi, that really satisfies him and that is his desire. And how did it come about? Here, the Acts is a great help, because everything is related, right? We haven't got books that are independent of each other, but actually there is just one story. You look into Acts, you look into epistles to the Philippians, to the Colossians, you always see the same thing, but from a different angle. And we see here what God wants to work, what is on his heart. And Paul had started his second journey. He was on his way, and he came into the region, Acts 16:6. So, and they passed through the country of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. So that's interesting that the Spirit forbade something. Have you received the Spirit through faith? Sometimes you think, oh, this big apostle Paul, but he was a servant, he was a human being, he received God's life, and in him, the Spirit of God, of Jesus Christ, dwelled in him. This is normal with a Christian. We get regenerated, and the life of God enters into us. That's why Jesus Christ died for us, and so that Jesus becomes available to all that seek him. And we have to get to know this life now. We have to know this life. And Paul was someone who wanted to get to know this life. We are all, like him, disciples, a learning one, a trainee. We are training people, being trained, who say, Lord, I want to get to know you more. Every day I want to learn a bit more of you. Not then end up with much knowledge. Knowledge is good. It's good to know the context, to know everything here in the Word. But this is not the first thing. But the first thing is to know Christ. And Paul knew him. And he had the sensation, don't go there. And then in verse 9, he had a different sensation. And The man of from Macedonia said, come over into Macedonia and help us. So, and then in verse 11, Acts 16, 11, it says, and putting out to sea from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and then on the following day to Neapolis. So I don't know what your plan was so far in your life. This was not Paul's plan here. I had a different plan. And someday the Lord knocked on the door in my life. And it's wonderful that if you open up your heart to the Lord, then he can give his plan into you, and then his plan becomes your plan, and he can lead you. God leads us as his children through his wonderful life. And then he came to Philippi. That was actually not his plan, but he practiced to listen to the Lord. He was in fellowship with the Lord, and that is what we also experience in the church life. We fellowship, we hear the word, we have a sensation, we have fellowship with a brother. I'm not sure, Helmut, shall we have fellowship about a thing? Then we pray, then things become clearer. And they were into fellowship and went to Philippi, and then they wanted to announce the gospel, and on the Sabbath day they went outside the gate by a river where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple dyed goods from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God, was listening. Praise the Lord for all those who listen when the word of God is spoken. I want to be such a one. Don't say, oh, yes, I know that. Oh, Philippians was already spoken about in the summer conference. Be someone who listens every day again. Listen what the brothers and sisters say. Don't only listen what some say. Listen what the Spirit says to the churches. It's a principle that the Lord wants to speak through his body. And what happened? The word opened the heart of Lydia. So in another place, we read that if someone speaks God's word, this works faith in other people who hear that. So Lydia opened her heart. Now, I'd like to zoom in here what happened in Lydia's situation. She heard the gospel. She heard the glad tidings, right? There are no good glad tidings here in this world, right? No good news anymore. It's so difficult, but yes, there is a good news. Jesus Christ as God's Son was raised. And then when you take John 1, for example, and you look into what is written here, there it is said in verse 1, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's, the Word is not just a book, but it's God's Word. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being which was come into being. And now listen, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. God speaks words of life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. This is the word of the Lord. It will not be conquered. It was there at that time, and it's there today. And in verse 12, it says, as many as received him, to them he gave authority to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were not born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And this is what happened exactly in Lydia's case. Lydia listened to the word, and Paul said, just simple, Paul said, you, no matter what you've heard, you just say, Lord Jesus, I receive you into my heart. And you know what happens? Then you will be saved. You receive this life, you'll become a child of God, and then no one can snatch it away. If someone's here who has not done that yet, then he can say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I want to experience this wonderful salvation, this life that you're describing in the Bible. I want to have it. And you know something? God gives you this life, the most wonderful thing in this universe that you will be given. Open up your heart and your mouth and receive Him. And then it continues, because this life is a saving life, because God wants to complete something. God started something and He wants to complete something. He save people and brought them out of darkness into the light. And Lydia was happy. I was also happy when I got saved. And it's good like that. But then God has a bigger plan. Like, as we zoomed out and we saw how many churches have gathered together here on this continent and even beyond, then we have to see what is God's plan. And Lydia, in the next step, what did she do? She got baptized. It's normal. Who believes, the next day or the same hour, he takes the step of being baptized. It's all normal. That's wonderful. So you know, when you get baptized, there is an invisible world. They see that Thomas belongs to Christ. He's in this realm spoiled for any other realm, any other kingdom. He belongs to Christ, and this is being announced. This is a position that I take. Sometimes you have to be brave and courageous and say, Lord, I want to get baptized into you. I heard that this week there was a baptism last Wednesday, and I was so rejoicing because someone took this step of saying, I belong to the Lord. And this person said, Lord, take me for your plan. I don't know how you want to use me, but take me. And this was the same with Lydia. And this was a simple beginning. And it was so decisive on this way to this one step on this way to be perfected. And when you go, take this step, then God can reveal Himself to you. When Nicodemus came to the Lord Jesus and said, I realize you are different from others, then the Lord said, you need to be born again, otherwise you won't understand anything. But brothers and sisters, we have been born again. There was a living God who has a heart full of a purpose, wants to do something in this universe, and there are people who have a heart who can receive that. That fits together. That means God can do something. How wonderful this is. And this happened in Philippi. This happened in Philippi.
Das ist das, was Gott auch heute tun möchte.
And this is what God wants to do today. You know, at that time, the church life came into being in Philippi. That means God was able to create a lampstand in Philippi. People came together who didn't know anything about each other, who had different philosophies, mottos and prejudices and all that. But through this step of faith, God took that away and a church was created. And He became visible while Jesus Christ was running around on this earth, was talking and praying, visible. At that time, He was no longer visible. When you wanted to see God, you had to come to Jesus. But His plan was in the next step to extend this life, to scale, so to say, this life, what we would say today. And for that, we need all our hearts. And we need to be shown again and again, what are we there for? Why I'm a Christian? And this is something, no matter how old you are, you have to ask yourself, what I'm there for? What am I doing here today? Why am I here tonight? What do you want to do with me? Do I know it? Have you been revealed this? Have you gone to the Lord once and said, Lord, why am I a child of God? What do you want to do with me? Specifically, do you have a plan for me? What's your plan? God wants to reveal Himself. And it's important that we all have such an attitude, so that we try to be empty, not to have seen anything yet. In this conference, I would like to encourage you, and encouraging means also exhorting in the scripture. Don't think that you have grasped anything. Of course, we've seen a lot and we praise the Lord for it, but let us have such an attitude here at this conference. Be here to ask, Lord, what do you want with me? I have heard so much already, but I don't want to cling to anything old and then be blocked so that you cannot go on. I want you to reveal yourself more to me. Paul in chapter 3:12 says, not that I have laid hold of it already or I'm completed already, but I'm pursuing so that I can lay hold of him completely as I was laid hold of him. Brothers, I do not reckon myself to have laid hold of completely, but I forget what is behind and stretching forward to what is before. And this way, I run towards the goal. And we need this attitude. No matter how long you are here or what you know, you have to put off. If you think, now I have it, that's the beginning of the end. Then God cannot reveal himself to you anymore. But God revealed himself for 30 years to me now. Yes, maybe you've heard a lot in these years. But if you've got a knowing heart, then you get blocked. Have a heart to turn. If I look at Corinthians, we know these verses by heart, but if you just know them by heart and they are not your reality, then they serve you nothing. Just an insertion here. It's always like that, right? If we think we've seen something in the church life, now I know in which intonation I need to pray, where I go. This is recognized in the church life. Maybe this is just my thinking, but let's put this off. Don't think that outward forms, they are worth something. They are worthless. They are not worth anything if we don't ask, Lord, is this what you want? Is the prayer that I'm speaking now something out of habit? Or is it the Spirit that is urging me? How am I praying? Yeah, listen to your own prayer. Would you listen to that prayer? Often, from God's point of view, sometimes I would have difficulty to understand what he wants. What do you want to tell me? Lord Jesus, okay, I'll close it now. I just want us to be open. Lord, why am I doing this? Don't stop and don't doubt now about what is in you, but we've got the desire to have this relationship with the Lord. And it's in the church life, it is important to know Christ and to gain him. We want to be close to him as you are close to your best friend. And so that you realize, oh, this really was not good. Oh, this, he did not accept that. Because it's a matter of a relationship, of being close to each other. This is my concern tonight. Don't only use a manual, the happy marriage, 10 rules for a happy marriage. It may look nice, but within you see there is no substance at all. We want to know the Lord. And the Lord has got such a concern in Matthew 16:18. He says, I want to build my church. Why does the Lord want to build his church? He showed us a city on the mountain. He wants to be extended. He wants to scale himself and be visible on the whole earth and bring down his kingdom on this earth and that the gospel may run. But you know, the church today is the only place on this earth where you get prepared for the Lord's coming back. It is the place where the Lord gave you through, gave you your sisters and brothers on in your locality, that you both get prepared, that you get to know Christ together. Christ and the church is not just a motto. Christ gives the church. He gives this framework so that people who have received his life have the desire to be completed, to reach the goal, have a context, have a framework where they can get prepared. And this preparation is only possible in fellowship. Anything else, I don't want to say too much, but I'm thankful to the Lord to understand more and more that the church is the place where change can take place. It is here where I get mirrored how the Lord is, where I see myself in his light, where I rub myself against the brothers and sisters or enjoy them where I have experience. And so many things happen here, and that is why the church life is so important. It is the place where it becomes visible what God wants to do, worked through the Lord's life. The church life is not an invention of humans. The church life came forth, was produced through this life. Let's read Acts 2, Acts 2, 42. And they were continuing steadfastly in the teaching and the fellowship of the apostles, in the breaking of bread and the prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles and all those who believed. What did they do? They stayed together and had all things common. And they were one heart and one soul. And this is what everybody longs for in this earth. This true oneness, this true peace, true healing, this wonderful conduct with each other. We are so different, each one of us, right? But God, through this life, is able to bring us together and make us one. And this is really impressive what he's doing here. And when I saw that for the first time, when I realized, wow, he said the church in Corinth, the church in Rome, church in Galatia, in Philippi, in Ephesus, then in Revelation, and so on. I thought, oh, wow, it was nice at that time. And then in Acts, how they were glad, how that worked, and so on. Nice. But then I realized it's still even working today. This is what we have, what we are having today. This is exactly what's written here. God is building his church today, and I am part of that, what God is doing these days. Imagine, you're in this plan, you're young, and you're in this wonderful plan in the church life. Lord Jesus, you have to be shown that. And this is reality. In 2023, God is building his house. There are churches, we heard that, right? Where God works. And he wants to do his work in the churches and wants to complete them, make them perfect. And in Philippians 3:20,
denn unsere Bürgerschaft ist in den Himmeln, von wo wir auch sehnlich einen Retter erwarten.
For our citizenship is in the heavens, from which also we eagerly await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transfigure the body of our humiliation, conforming it to the body of his glory, according to the operation of him who is able to even subject all things to himself. Our citizenship is in the heavens, and he's working in this place, in the church. So, you know, when we ask ourselves, when does the Lord come back? And then we start calculating and thinking this sign and this and that. God gives signs here and there. That's right. But what does it help us? If the Lord cannot work in us, if the Lord cannot change you, has the Lord changed you in 2023? I don't judge you. I don't judge myself. But I know someone who can judge, and he wants to do something glorious in us. And therefore, we don't calculate, right? In the first coming of the Lord, this was important. You could calculate exactly when the Lord would come and would be born. There were several people who were able to calculate that.
All das, dass er genau nach dem Plan gefolgt ist, was im Alten Testament wirklich prophezeit wurde auf den Tag.
And the Lord followed everything that was prophesied in the Old Testament, so we people knew it fitted all together. If you ask me today, when would the Lord come back? This is not the question. Actually, that is important. But the question is, are you ready when the Lord comes back? Do you use the opportunities that you have today in order to get prepared with the saints together? And that's why he says in Hebrews,
in chapter 9, Hebräer 9, Vers 27, und wie den Menschen gesetzt ist, einmal zu sterben, danach aber das Gericht.
Hebräer 9:27,
Christus, nachdem er einmal geopfert worden ist, um die Sünden vieler zu tragen,
and as it is reserved for men once to die, and after this judgment, so Christ also, having been once offered to bear the sins of many, shall appear to those who wait for him a second time, apart from sin unto salvation. He comes back for us. Are you someone who is so much longing for the Lord? Lord, when do you come back to pick up your bride? And the church is his expression on this earth today. Yeah, but it's also this wonderful city which is written in Revelation,
21:10. He says, Amen. In Vers 9 sagt er, komm her, ich will dir die Braut
zeigen. He carried me away in spirit onto a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. God is longing, the Lord is longing for his bride that has flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. Christ and the church belong so closely together, and an important aspect is for us to see that the church life today is the place which the Lord gives us to be perfected in one together. When you are there and give room to the Lord to work in you through the situations in which you are, to serve together, to be for each other, to hear the word, all the aspects that you've got to know, all this the Lord wants to use and wants to make us such people who wait for him. And you know the Lord will come back soon. But there are some that are ready. And if you look closely in Luke 2, for example,
2:25,
and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it was communicated to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he should see the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and as the parents brought in the little child Jesus for them to do according to the custom, he received him into his arms and blessed God and said, now you're releasing your slave, Master, according to your word in peace. Or in verse 36, a prophetess. And there was an Anna, a prophetess, a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was well advanced in years, having lived with a husband She was a widow up to the age of 84, who did not depart from the temple, serving with fasting and so on. And she, at that very hour, she came up and returned thanks to God and spoke concerning him. So stay in the place, stay in the church with the saints where the Lord wants to complete you. Say thanks to the Lord that you can be there. Say thanks to the Lord for all the troubles. Sometimes you think there are situations, oh Lord, is it necessary? Yes, it's necessary because the Lord loves you. In another place he speaks about chastising. Like when you want to leave the house and you've got a stain somewhere, a spot somewhere. If God wouldn't take care, he would let you run out like that. It's not easy out there. I tell my son sometimes, I don't want to take turns with you. It's difficult to be out there. But I also know that the grace has been superabundant. So don't be discouraged. Seek the Lord. Practice to live with him. And then we would like to know sometimes, have we been made perfect a little bit? Are we on a good way? Maybe there is a target value somewhere, or there are key indicators which we can use.
Oh, Herr Jesus. Herr Jesus. Ja, es gibt so einen Indikator.
Yeah, there are some indicators whether we are on the right track or not. That's this one here. That's the oneness.
What?
How are you doing when you see the saints? When you look right, look left. When you go back to your place in Vietnam where you meet with some other saints, how about your heart towards the others? You may say, when you see this or that one, praise the Lord. But what's in your heart? How are you doing when you think about those saints? How about if someone's not there anymore? Or someone is there that you find tiring? How stressful? Maybe you like someone more than others? Can you write bad things about someone? Speak ill about someone? Is that a problem? If Thomas and me, we talk a bit about this and that one, let's have fellowship. Is that possible? Can you do that? Is that easy for you? Which position do you have? Do you have this position to judge others? Is your opinion something that counts in the church life? Do you have joy when you see the brothers and sisters? Do you really? Are you really joyful? Or do you think, well, I want to be completed, so I better go there. I better go to the meeting. Yeah, there are indicators of how we are doing. Of where we are standing at, praise the Lord for that. He does not let us in the ignorance, to be ignorant. I would have liked to have a figure, this and that, and the Lord will come back this and that here, but it will not help you. This makes you awake for a short time, but this will not change you. What changes you is the relationship to the Lord every day. The Lord gives you a new day every day. Why does he do that? You know, this is a day of salvation. Yesterday was no good day, maybe. Maybe it was a super day. But today there is another day. You can turn and say, Lord, today you and me, together with the saints, Lord, I want to gain you. You can take the Lord into everything, into everything. I've got so many things to do in my work. I had a bad sleep. Do I speak with my Lord about it? I talk with my Lord about everything. when I wake up at 3 o'clock in the night, I don't want to wake up my wife. The Lord is interested in you as you are. No matter what you've done, you can just come to Him. Just do it. Go ahead. Don't be lied. Oh, I take the time this and then and then. It's a lie. When you hear this voice, then the Lord knocks and calls you every day. Don't you hear Him speaking? Don't you hear His voice? How He's begging, knocking. The Lord is so long, has so much long suffering. He is patient with us. A patience that we would not have at all.
Amen. Lob den Herrn. Paulus schreibt im Epheserbrief.
Paul writes in the Epistle to the Ephesians
in Kapitel 3, Vers 16,
in chapter 3,
verse
16,
dass er euch gebe, nach dem Reichtum seiner Herrlichkeit mit Kraft gestärkt zu werden, durch seinen Geist hinein in den inwendigen Menschen,
that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with power through His Spirit into the inner man. And through faith, the Lord Jesus started to live in their hearts, but that was just the beginning, and then it starts, that Christ may make His home in your hearts, through faith, that you, having been rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the knowledge surpassing love of Christ, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. But to Him who is able to do superabundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power which operates in us, to Him be the glory in the Church and in Christ Jesus unto all the generations. I love to see all these generations here. Of the age of the ages. Let us be such ones that are awake and that check, that test, prove by testing what is different. You know, our time is short. What about if this night it would be your last night? I experienced 25th September this year when it was the last day of my father. That was not 26th September. His life was over then. We think we live and live and live, and no matter whether I do it today or tomorrow, imagine, or what would you change if it had been your last day today? Let us be such people who are smart in the decisions. And I can tell you it's worthwhile to give yourself to the Lord. And let us be people who take heed of others, of ourselves, who can test, prove by testing. In Philippians 1:10, that you can check, prove by testing what is different.
Egal wie lange du schon wie lange ihr schon lauft, was ihr euch zurechnen könnt oder
that you may prove by testing the things which differ. No matter how long you walk with the Lord already, don't be such a one who makes someone else stumble. Have a repentant heart. You know, we are reading Philippians now, and I'm happy, and it's a precious time that we will have here, and you see where one place where Christ left His glory voluntarily, He humiliated Himself unto death. I have been humiliated here and there, but it's nothing compared with the Lord. Why do I think so highly of myself? Why do I think, because of my own opinion, I want to insist on my opinion in the church life? And then I create an offense, cause an offense. In Luke, we go through Luke in Pforzheim, and it says, who causes an offense to one of these small ones, what should happen to that one? It should be a milling stone should be slung around his head, and he should be drowned. Lord, I have died with you on the cross. No longer I live. Christ lives, the old Michael, where there is so much flesh that is disturbing the church life. I can put it off and can go together with you this way and can be perfected together with you. Be prepared for him that he, when he comes back. And we don't need to be afraid, because life is there to be perfected and to be matured. These sunflower seeds, they were so small. If the Lord put such a wonderful life into you,
it hasn't got a destination.
He hasn't got a destination for us.
We
should be completed together. He wants to come back. And for that, he needs us young and old people. Let us give our hearts to the Lord. Let's practice to be repentant, to be small in the church life. Let us appreciate what we have. Praise the Lord for all the saints in your place. And say, thank you that this and that person is there. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's so precious. Praise the Lord.